I'm grateful for this opportunity. It's a great Matrix Day. Yesterday that we're having this discussion of saints, but it's next day as a singular testament. Aaron, a saint is, and what act is a soul. Everywhere else in that particular sense. First chapter, though, the Christians there, he says that saints, people are people who look at someone here that's affecting them, and how does we could at least say they want to dare and can't to verify that you're there. It is wonderful. First thing people know about the cat in your life, then you have to try to determine. But God only to know and what person you've been around is to look on your people, not this person. Complete level in 1 Timothy, the second chapter, verse 5 says, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is the only person that has the right or the authority to mediate between God and man. There are no men who are confirmed saints who have the right to be a go-between between God and man. So we can see how much confusion this is caused by the misteachings of, quote, religious leaders in our world today about what a saint is. And so we can see why the world thinks that there's nobody that can be a saint, because you have to be dead or you have to be confirmed by miracles. And then there's also the term saint that is usually loosely used by the majority of people in the world. When you talk about a saint, you think about somebody that is superior in morals than everybody else. They live to a standard that most everybody else can't live. And this is probably the most detrimental of thoughts that people have about what a saint is. Somebody that's superior to everybody else, has a standard that most of us can't reach. That's what makes a saint. And so, based upon these different concepts, people come to the conclusion that, you know, there's very few people that are saints. There's no way that I could be a saint. And so, why worry about it? Let's go on. But not only is it mistaught and misused, it's abused quite well. The term saint is just a common word anymore. It's not elevated to be something that God meant for it to be. We just think of it in terms of, let's look at it this way. What do we use the term saint for? Well, let's see. We name cities by them, St. Louis. We name lakes by them. We name mountains by them, St. Mount Helens. Let's see, what else? They even named a fire that comes out of the smokestack on a ship, St. Elmo's Fire. They named dogs St. Bernard's. So saint is just a common word that we use to describe different things that has really no meaning at all. We just throw it in there to make it so that we know what it is. So it doesn't have the kind of value that God has placed on it. People don't understand how special a saint is, what a saint is. But the Bible is very clear about it. Like I said, it talks extensively about what a saint is. And I think that when we look and study the term saint or what saint is in the Bible, that it'll help us to understand how special it is and how important it is that we are one and that we elevate our thinking to the point of where we describe ourselves as saints. That's the ultimate goal in this lesson, is for us to come to the conclusion that I'm a saint, I want to be a saint, and that's my goal in life. Because so many people don't think that way anymore. But if we're going to come to that way of thinking about a saint and the specialness of that, let's look at what the Bible has to say about it. First of all, when you think about saints, I think that it is a privilege of God to be a saint. It's a privilege. Look at the things that the saint that is involved in a person or what a saint is. If you look at Jude, the third chapter, Jude, verse number 3, it says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." So we use this scripture to talk about the fact that there's no new revelation in from God as far as what we need to do. But this particular passage of scripture tells how special a saint is. A saint is a person who has accept or come to know what the faith is. And when we use that term, the faith, that's talking about the Christian system. We're talking about what God has told mankind that he must do and how he must live in order to have eternal life. It's a privilege to have this information. You know that the majority of the world is completely ignorant on what the truth is about how a person must be saved. Most of the people in the world are completely ignorant about the fact that there's just one church and you have to be a part of the one church in order to be saved. But we are privileged to know that. The saints are privileged to know that. Only the saints have that information that is exclusive to the rest of the world. So it's a great privilege. Secondly, when you think about the privilege position of a saint, we can look at Ephesians, the first chapter, in verse number 18. And there it says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints." All right? Secondly, the saint, the term saint, or what a saint is a privileged person because he's had the eyes of his understanding enlightened. What this is saying basically is that you have come to a understanding that most people do not have. Most people live in the physical world thinking of physical things and don't have a spiritual understanding. Paul, even in many of his letters talking to some of the people in the church, said, "You're of a carnal mind, therefore I can't talk to you about spiritual things." But a saint is someone who has the mindset, a spiritual mindset, who has their mind open to spiritual things, and they're enlightened by that. They have come to the conclusion of what is really important in life. A saint is somebody that has their priorities set straight and is in tune with what God wants. Not what is important in this life, not the accumulation of goods, money, wealth, popularity, and those things. And so their eyes have been opened. Their understanding is open. A saint is the only one that has this. Well, also, when we think about the privileged position of the saints, we can look at Ephesians, the third chapter, in verses 18 and 19, which says, "That ye may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ that passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." The saints live in a privileged position because they know the true love of God. They know what has been done so that they can have the security of their soul and live in eternity. They know what Christ did and the fact that He gave up His position in heaven as equal with God, took upon Himself the form of a man, lived and suffered and died, giving Himself as a ransom for me and for you that we might have eternal life. We understand that. We understand what that means, and we have that appreciation for it. Even though we may not know everything that is going on in this world and in our lives, we still can hold on to the knowledge of what has been done for us and what the future holds. This is what is involved in being a saint, knowing the truth about what is going on in life. And then fourth, when we think about the privileged position of the saint, we have to look at Colossians, the first chapter, in verse 12. It says, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." This term here, being made or making us meet, means to make us fit for. A saint is someone who understands what has been done for him, the price that has been paid, and how he becomes worthy to inherit eternal life. A saint understands that it's not by his own goodness that he has a right to heaven, but it's because of the price that Christ paid for him, and that he's made fit to inherit those things. In verse number 13, talks about being translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, being put in the church. We're put in the church because of the precious blood of Jesus. We are made worthy only by the precious blood of Jesus. And if we look at Ephesians, the second chapter, in verses 10 through 12, it says that by grace we are saved through faith and not of works, lest any man should boast. So we understand that the saint is saved only by the price that was paid for him, not because of the things that he does to inherit or to earn eternal life. So the first thing that we have to look at in understanding and desiring to be a saint is the fact that it's a privileged position, something that not everybody in the world has. It is an exclusive few as far as that goes. The Catholics do have something right about that. There are only an exclusive few. Not that it has to be that way, but because that is the way it's the choice that people make. Well, when we think about saints, I think that we need to appreciate what a saint is. We have to understand that a saint is the proof of the power of God to change the lives of people. We're proof of the power of God today. When you look at Paul's account of himself in Galatians, the second chapter, in verse 20, it says, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." Paul recognized that his life was no longer his own, but he was a picture of Christ. He showed Christ living today in the way that he lived. And that is what a saint does. A saint portrays Christ in his life. And so we're a new person. In Romans, the 6th chapter, in verses 4 and 5, there Paul describes how a person becomes that new man, how he becomes a saint, when he says that we're buried with Christ in baptism. And like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we are raised to walk in newness of life. There we become the new person. There we become the saint. There we become the light that we're supposed to be. The new man. The old man is buried in the death of baptism, and we're raised to walk in newness of life. Ephesians 5, verses 1 through 10, there Paul describes what this newness looks like, what this new man is like. In verse 10, he says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. That word proving there means demonstrating. And if you go back and you look at Ephesians, the 5th chapter, in verses 1 through 9, he describes, he says, my children, walk as God, first verse. And then he goes on in verse 3 and says, fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once mentioned among you as become a saint. There are certain ways that saints act and the ways that saints live that portray something different than what they did before. And he goes on to talk about it, not in filthiness and other things along those lines, but it's a changed man. It becomes a new man. And he describes that when he says it is by cleanness and righteousness and truth. We walk in a different thing. We show a different light. And that's what sainthood is. It's showing Christ in us. It's showing a new life. It's showing a positive thing instead of a decadent way of living that we used to live in the past. When we think about demonstrating, we think about the being a billboard for Christ. When people look at us, what do they see? Do they see us as a person of the world, or do they see us different? You know, we were talking about it in class just a little bit this morning about the power of advertising. How young people today are bombarded by advertising, whether it be on the signs on the side of the road in magazines and TV. People understand the influence that advertising has on other people, and they spend millions and millions of dollars to get their message across. Well, Christ has determined one way to demonstrate what a saint is, or how to live as God would have us to live, and that's through the life of the Christian. We are God's advertisement. And it's so sad when people say, I'm no saint, or he's no saint, or she's no saint. We shouldn't be saying that's the same thing as saying, I'm not a Christian. He's not a Christian. She's not a Christian. A saint is a Christian. We're setting the example. We're showing what Christ would be doing and how he would be living if he were on this earth today. And so we are the demonstration of the power of God and the ability to change lives. That is the work of the saint. Well, also when we think about the saint and what it means to be a saint, the saint has the confidence and the comfort that comes from knowing that God is with him. You know, in Proverbs, the 2nd chapter, in verse 8, it says that God preserveth the way of the saint. He has his protection. It's interesting to note, in 1 Samuel, the 2nd chapter, Hannah, after she had prayed for God to give her a son, Samuel was born into him. And when she went and bowed herself before God and asked for a son, she had made the commitment to God that she would devote that son to the service of God. And in 1 Samuel, the 2nd chapter, verse 2, after she'd weaned the child, she brings Samuel to the temple and there gives him back to the Lord. And in verses 1 through 10 there's the prayer offered by Hannah about the power of God and the protection of God. She understood what it meant to be a saint of God and what it offered to mankind. And she says in verse 10 there in that prayer, the adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of the heavens shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto kings and exalt the horn of his anointed. Verse number 9, and he will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. So in verse 9, she acknowledges the fact that there is a protection that comes for the saints from God. They have the confidence and the comfort of knowing that they will make it through based upon the power of God, not based upon their own power and the things that they do. Well, secondly, when we think about the protection or and comfort that comes from being a saint, we can look at Romans the 10th chapter, or Romans the 8th chapter and verse 28, where we have the confidence of knowing that God is with us and will work things out for us. And there it says that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord, who are, them are called according to His purposes. So the saint has confidence of knowing that God will work things out for him. Thirdly, when we think about confidence and comfort that comes from being a saint, we can look at the idea that we have all things are provided for us so that we will be able to know how to live and how to get to heaven. In 1 Peter, the first chapter, in verse 3, it says that all things are given to us that are for the good of our life and for godliness. And so we know that God will provide the means by which we may be able to get through this life. And then, you know, we need to understand that we have the benefits of God in knowing in 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter in verse 10, that when the Lord returns, that we will be able to participate in the glory of God as He returns. As we think about this, you know, many people are still confused after they look at the idea of what a saint is and who a saint is and decide whether or not they really want to be a saint. But we have the ability to know that saints will receive their reward that God has promised. In Revelation, the 11th chapter, in verses 16 through 18, we can see the promise of the reward of the saint. There we read. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath hath come. And the time of the dead that should be judged, and they that should give us... that thou should give us reward unto thy servants the prophets and to the saints and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth." So we know that the saints, when the Lord shall return, shall receive the glory that is in God, and they shall receive the reward that is promised to them by the Lord. So we should desire and want to be a saint. You know, that comes down to the question of, are you a saint? You know, many Christians don't understand what the term saint is. There was a test done in the Church of Christ. And I guess we could just do it right here and now. It'd be a good test for us right here. Most of you don't have a piece of paper. But let's just say that you had a piece of paper. And I want you to take your piece of paper and I want you to draw a line down the middle of it. And on the one side, I want you to put the term sinner. And on the other side, I want you to put the term saint. All right, and then on that piece of paper, I want you to check, put a check underneath which one you are, saint or sinner. This was done in Church of Christ, and it was kind of amazing the way that it came up. And I think that this would be true in most any congregation that you made this check. Where would you put your check? I don't know what the exact percentage was as far as the checks, but in that test, where members of the Church of Christ were asked to place that check, everyone except for one placed the check mark under sinner. What is a saint? Am I a saint? That's what we're trying to get at here. You know, the only one that didn't place the check under saint, didn't place it under saint, placed it on the line. That's what we're talking about. People are confused about what a saint is. My friends, if you're not a saint in this life, when you die, you don't become a saint in the afterlife. And I understand why people think the way that they do about the term saint, and why it's difficult to say, yes, I'm a saint, is because our battle with sin is tough. It's a struggle, and we often feel like we fail. But because we make mistakes and we sin does not mean that we're not saints. If we make the corrections like we're supposed to, when we know that we've sinned, we're a saint. That's what saints are. Saints are people who have done what God says, are living faithfully, and are continuing to do what God says do. And so we need to understand that those people who are Christians are saints. Now, let's carry this just a little bit further because of that confusion. If you checked under that thing that I'm a sinner because you know that there's something wrong in your life, that you haven't obeyed Christ, then you have to make certain corrections that a saint would make. If you're not willing to make that change, then there is a problem. Saints make adjustments in their life to make themselves right with God. Sinners don't. Sinners continue down the path of pride and selfishness and what they want out of life as opposed to what God wants out of life. So we need to understand that. The question then is, are you a saint? You know, it's not really a hard question. We make it very difficult. The same thing that makes you a Christian makes you a saint. You hear the word of God and believe it. When Jesus says that you must believe that I am He, you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, just like those people who saw Him in the flesh. When you're confronted by the word of God with the truth, and you see that your life is in contradiction with that, that you're living wrong, you repent. You change your life. That's what a saint will do, or a person who wants to be a saint. They will confess, make the good confession that the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts the 8th chapter. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then they will be willing to be baptized for the remission of sins. At that point, a person becomes a saint, sanctified, separated by the blood of Jesus Christ. When one is baptized in water, it's not the water that cleanses of their sins, but it's the contact of the life cleansing blood of Jesus Christ that He offered upon the cross. That makes one a saint. If you've done that, you're a saint. But then you have to live faithfully at that point. And if you haven't, if you've done something publicly, then you can access the blood again through confession, repentance, and prayer. If it's a private matter, you can do it privately. If it's a public matter, we can do it publicly and get ourselves back on track to where we're living and demonstrating what a saint is before the world. You know, but because of all the confusing teaching, people refuse or are not going to be saints. The majority of people are not going to be saints. Because of all the confusion, people are not going to be saints. But then I mentioned just at the beginning that there's a third category of those who refuse to be saints. There is going to be the world is a very difficult place. Temptation is very strong. You know, and there are going to be some people that just don't think that they can live the life, and so I'm not going to try. Roy talks about from the ages of 12 to 16 that he knew what he had to do, but he couldn't live it, so he didn't become a Christian. There's a lot of people that fall into that category. You know, I just can't live up to the standard of Christianity, so I'm not going to become a Christian. I want to remind you what Jesus said there in Matthew, the 19th chapter, in verses 25 and 26. After he had talked to the young man about what he had to do to inherit eternal life, and Jesus told him to sell all that he had and come follow me, he went away sorrowful and wasn't willing to do it. He made a choice. He didn't think it was obtainable. He didn't think it could be done. And the rest of the disciples turned and looked at Christ and said, who then can be saved? Who will be saved? And Jesus said, with men, all things are impossible, but with God, things are possible. And so we can obtain to what a saint's life is with the power of God. That is what it's all about, using the power of God and access to the power of God. But then also there's a second category of people who are going to reject the position of being saint. And the rejection is based upon the desire of being a part of the world. There's an old rock and roll song that comes to my mind that was written by Billy Joel. I think it's, what is the name of it? Only the Good Die Young. And there's a little phrase in that song that says, I'd rather laugh with the sinner than cry with the saint. And, that's the portrayal of the world. When you become a Christian, you can't be happy anymore. You got to give up everything. You just got to be poor, pitiful me. That's what the world wants you to think a saint is. And so many people have succumbed to that doctrine that the devil has produced as far as what a saint is. But a saint is a blessed life. It's a happy life. You still have great things in life that you can enjoy. It's just not those things that are going to destroy you and send you to hell. But people want to go the wrong way. You know, you look at the Old Testament, it's always been that way with people. Elijah, Mount Carmel, he had the Jews, God's chosen people of the day. And they were being wishy-washy. They didn't know if they wanted to follow Baal in the world or if they wanted to follow Jehovah God. So they'd be a faithful Jew for a while, and then they'd worship Baal for a while. And they never could. And Elijah finally, he came down and says, you've got to make up your mind. You've got to make a choice. You're either going to go down this path here, which will lead in the wrong place, or you're going to follow Jehovah God. And we know what he did. Building the altar and filling it with water and fire coming down from God to consume it. And all the people said, yes, we're going to serve Jehovah God. Well, we're not going to have fire raining down from heaven, but we have the sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon the cross that shows us the love of God and what He's willing to do. So we've got to make up our minds too. We're going to have to make a decision what we're going to do. Christ said in Matthew the 12th chapter and verse 30, He says, either you're for me or you're against me. What are we? Are we saints? Are we working for God? You know, it is true that living a saint's life is not going to be an easy life. It's a challenge, and that's why a lot of people don't want to do it, because they don't want to work at it. They don't want to meet the challenge. When you talk about being a saint, it involves words like conviction, consecration, dedication, submission. You say these words, people, I don't want any of that. That's the life of a saint. It's saint, one of devotion and love for them, submitting to what He wants and will of His will. It's not an easy life as far as being a saint. But you know, when you think about lives to live, it's the only life to live. It's the only life that has the promise of eternal life. And so tonight, or this morning, we need to ask, am I a saint? Am I living like a saint? And do I want to go to heaven? If you're not a saint, we have the song of invitation. If you need to respond at this time, won't you come?